Yeah, man. Firstly, what I wanted to say was I'm a big fan of the show. Big up. Then, my game of choice is Rise of the Robots. Everybody wanna go Evan, but no one want dead. Well, let me tell ya, right? What you do is, once the game is loaded, you go to the back of your console or PC or computer, whatever, and you pull the power cable out. Then you put it back in and load a better game. 'Cause Rise of the Robots is crap, ain't it? You know what I mean? Burn.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 23. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me for the second week in a row is...
Dean Swain.
Hey, Dean.
Hey. I'm good, mate. I'm tired. I've been on a week of nights, so if I'm lagging a bit in this one, I do apologise.
No worries, mate. So before we get into what we've been up to, let's quickly tell everyone what we've got lined up for you. First of all, we're going to tell you what we've been up to, what we've been playing, some site news and announcements. We've got a replay section. We've got a remake of the week section. We've got a little giveaway. We've got a WTF music of the week. The best thing I think we've got on the podcast, which is Name the Game.
Name the game.
Name the game. Then we've got hidden gems. And last time you couldn't find your hidden gem.
No, it was so hidden I'd lost it.
And then after that we got topic of the month. And then we're going to round up the show. Now, before I ask you what we've been up to, let me quickly say, today's show, we're sort of being sponsored by Retro Video Gamer and Elite Systems. So a big special shout out to Retro Video Gamer and Elite Systems, because they've been really kind enough and they've given us some iPhone codes.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the way this is going to work, guys, somewhere throughout the shop, you know, the show, I was going to say shop, somewhere throughout the show, we're going to sort of like, just out of the blue, tell you what game you can win with this. And then read out the code. And the way it works is, first person to enter the code, you get the code for your iPhone. So we've got two codes to give away throughout the show. So, yeah, sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
That's not bad at all, is it, eh?
So, let's ask those immortal words again, mate. What have you been up to?
Like I say, I've been working nights, so it's a bit of a struggle to get much time for gaming. I have been doing a little bit of retro, but via the PlayStation Vita. One of the games that I won't mention just yet because it's the game that I'm reviewing this week. And the other game is Ikari Warriors, which is the arcade version, but on the PlayStation Vita. And, yeah, you can... They've got these... they call them PlayStation Minis, and
right.
SNK are releasing most of their back catalogue on there. So, you've got stuff like Prisoner of War, which is quite suited to the system, and Ikari Warriors, which I thought, I remember that from the ZX Spectrum and the arcade. But, of course, the controls are not really suited to the game, so... It's not bad. It's visual and audio. It's arcade perfect, but the controls ain't there. So
that's what I was going to ask you. How do the controls work? Because in the arcade, wasn't it like a dial as well? So you
could... That's right. It's one of the rotary joysticks that SNK seem to specialise in.
Yeah.
And you can use X, Y, square and zero, whatever it is on the PlayStation, to fire in those directions, which helps, but it's not quite the same.
Because the way it worked back in the Spectrum was you could sticky your controls, toggle your controls.
That's so right, yeah.
You could sort of be shooting up and then toggle it, so that way you can just move left and right, or then if you sort of decided you want to shoot right, just non-stop, you'd toggle it so it would stick in that direction, and I thought that worked really well.
It did work really well, and they've done a similar option on the Vita version, but because is actually emulating the arcade game. It's, I don't know, it's just the way the game is set out, you know, you've got enemies coming from all directions, whereas on the Spectrum, I think they had changed some of the attack patterns so it works better with the controls that the Spectrum was limited to. So yeah, it's not bad, but not great either. So, right. There you so go.
How much are these minis coming out for then?
I think they're about $3.99.
Not bad, I suppose.
It's not bad, I guess. Yeah, it makes my nights go quicker anyway, so.
No emulation on the Vita as yet?
Not as far as I'm aware. I've not really been following, you know, the underground scene where that sort of thing would pop up. But, yeah, I think it's a bit too early at the moment for that kind of thing.
I think it's a great little machine for that sort of thing because the screen's a nice size, it's really sharp, it's high def, so the games would look amazing.
Yeah, it's certainly a nice bit of kit. There's just not that many games on it. But, yeah, you know, for a bit of retro gaming, there is the option there on the PlayStation Network.
So what else have you been playing or what else have you been up to then?
I've been doing a bit of PR for the site and podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Designing a few bits, done a couple of new banners, so probably not very interesting for most people, but yeah, it's stuff that's going on behind the scenes so we can try and promote the site and make it all better.
Yeah, because I think we're trying to take the show to a whole new level and the website, because I think the way I said it last time is just that before we were on level 1, now we've reached level 2, now I want to take it to level 3, and by this time next year I think we'll be about level 5 sort of thing.
Hopefully, yeah.
The roof, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think the show's becoming a lot more popular. More reviews and, you know, just a lot more feedback. And everyone seems to be enjoying it. So I think we've got to carry on doing what we're doing, but just enhancing it. And, yeah, like you say, raising the level.
Yeah, so completely off topic then. How's the baby-to-be?
The baby to be is kicking a lot more recently. I think the baby is running out of room in there.
Right. When's yeah. the baby due again?
1st of December. How about yours?
My baby is due to be born the 7th of December, but we went to the doctor for another scan, and they said it's a bit bigger than, you know, it's meant to be. It's a week ahead.
Right.
So I think instead of being born January 7th, we're thinking New Year's Eve.
Right, blimey.
Yeah.
That'll make for a fun night.
It will, mate, it will. So, all right, let me tell you a little bit about what I've been up to. Again, I haven't been up to a lot because I've been working, I do shift work. I've got an operation coming up, Dean.
Yes, I hear.
Yeah, so this podcast comes out this Friday and the operation is on Sunday. Ooh. And we normally record a little bit in advance. So I'm thinking the next episode, I'm hoping to be on it, but if I'm not, it's probably because, like, you know, my operation, I don't know, it's taken it out of me, really. So, but
actually, yeah, you'll probably need a bit of a rest afterwards.
Yeah, I think what I spoke to the nurse yesterday for a pre-assessment, and she says I've got to have 2 weeks and a bit off work and then do some light duties at work. So I'm going to make the most of it and play loads of retro games.
Too right.
Honestly, the games I've got in mind, I'm going to play some Zelda, because I love Zelda. I'm going to try and play some arcade games. I'm going to try and play some Spectrum games. And, yeah, because I haven't really been playing much. I think the only game I have played, Dean, is Chucky Egg, because you can pick it up, put it down.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I got pretty far into it. At first, I kept on dying in the third level, you know, the one with the lifts.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just did amazing. I wish I had recorded it because my high score was amazing. And I got right through, I think it's about 15 or 16 different levels. It loops right back. The big duck comes out the cage and that's when it becomes hard. And I think I nearly did it again, you know, another loop. But my wife called me, so I had to turn it off.
I've got to admit, I've not played that in absolutely years and years, probably since I had the Spectrum originally. I don't know. I remember playing the second one more, which Chucky probably wasn't. 2. Yeah, I wasn't as good on that. But
Chucky Egg 2 was a departure, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's quite different. But yeah, I remember having the first one, and I got a feeling the tape might have snapped or
right,
so it stopped me from playing it. So yeah, I'll have to give that another go.
Well, this is one of the games I hope that does come out by Elite Systems, because I think they do own the name.
Yeah.
And I think it would be great for it to come out on the indie games and for it to have like a high score table that you can compare with your friends.
Sure. Yeah.
That would be a great little addition.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much what I've been playing and what I've been up to. What about you?
I think that's pretty much it. Like I say, there is another game, but I'll leave that for the review.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
Sorry, matey, you can go first.
You want me to go first? Right, well, Microsoft have confirmed that Killer Instinct trademark is
IP or
the IP's been renewed, so basically Killer Instinct is going to make some kind of return in some form one way or another, whether it's a re-release or, you know, a whole new version. I've got to admit, I'm not the biggest Killer Instinct fan. I didn't have a SNES back in the day, so
Well, okay, let me take over this section a little bit then. I think what's going to happen with this game, it will be released on the Xbox 360, probably the original arcade game.
Or right.
Maybe like a sequel.
Yeah.
Because I think it would work perfect for the Xbox arcade. I think it would work really, really, really well. Now, the original arcade game was very similar to Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
A bit of Mortal Kombat. And it featured 3D style graphics on a 2D environment, similar to Donkey Kong Country, but as a beat 'em up. And it had amazing music. That was one of the things that really struck me about this game. I've still got the free CD that I got with the SNES.
Right.
And I really hope this game does come out, because it wasn't just about hitting, beating the other person. It was about combinations, and it was learning those combinations that really made this game different from Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
Right, yeah, I've never played it. I remember seeing it in the arcade, but I don't know, it didn't grab me. I was more of a Tekken fanboy.
Yeah, no, on the SNES, I think there was only a few good proper one-on-one beat-em-ups. Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, I guess. The Art of Fighting, Fatal Fury, and definitely Killer Instinct was up there with the best of them. So I'm looking forward to this. So why don't you tell us then your next site news then?
Right, okay. Midway have announced Midway Arcade Origins. More than 30 classics are coming back. I'm not too sure if this is, you know, like a big compilation release, or if they're just going to release these singly.
I think it is. I think it's being done by some of the same people that put together the Sega one,
right.
I believe. Now, it will be like a big, massive compilation with maybe about 30 to 40, maybe a few hidden games. But the only downer is you can't play some of these games online with a friend.
Oh, right. Why did I do this?
It should have an online mode.
Yeah, you know, if they want us to pay money to play these games, they've got to put a lot of effort into making these games as enjoyable as possible. Just re-releasing them as they are with just local players, you know. These days, you expect multiplayer.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, when this sort of compilation came out on the last generation, like the PS2 and so on, I was more than happy just to pick them up because I wasn't expecting online play.
Yeah, because online play hadn't really taken off too much at that time on the consoles, so that's fair enough. But yeah, these days you expect them, you know, if they're going to re-release these yet again, they've got to put a bit more effort into it.
So what are the Midway games that you're looking forward to then?
Spy Hunter, I absolutely love. Yeah, I remember getting hooked to that on the arcade and the ZX Spectrum versions. What else did they do?
Had the Blues Brothers music. Like,
no, I don't think it's Blues Brothers. It was Peter Gunn.
Yeah,
the Peter Gunn theme. Narc, I've always enjoyed. I don't know if that's going to be included. See, I would say Gauntlet, but unless it's got online multiplayer, I'm not really going to play it single player. It's not one of those games I really enjoy just playing single player. What else? Rampage, again, you know, this is a multiplayer game. It should be three people having a good time, not playing on your own.
It'd be the best way to do it, really, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, because so many of their games are multiplayer games. It's a strange decision.
Yeah. All right, then. So let's move on to my little bit of site news is, like, an intrepid programmer has brought Super Mario to the Atari 2600. Now, it's not an official game, and it's still in its demo stages, and it looks pretty damn good for Atari 2600 standards, don't you reckon, Dean?
I do, yeah. I saw footage of this a few weeks back, and the main sprite's rather large, and, you know, it does look like Mario. It's quite well animated, and it's immediately identifiable as Mario, whereas, you know, many 2600 games, because of the limitations on the system, you had to go by what the label told you it was.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it does look fairly promising. I'm looking forward to it.
I really hope this game does come out at some point soon, because I'm a big fan of Super Mario, and it's just nice seeing it being done on a different system that it originally wasn't intended to be designed for. I mean, everything does look that little bit blockier, but like you said, you can tell what it's meant to be, and
yeah,
it looks like it plays pretty smooth and so on.
Plus, you know, when you think about it, Mario, I think his first appearance on a home console probably was the Atari 2600 in Donkey Kong, so yeah, it's nice to see him back on the system.
Definitely, mate, definitely. All right, so let me tell you my last bit of site news, what I've got, then we've got a few announcements.
Yep.
It's an iPhone app. It's called SNES Music. Now, this was kindly brought to my attention by a BuzzBop from 3B's podcast and Odd Pod Show. He sent me a little link, and he goes, you have to get this app. And I downloaded it, and what it is, it's a free app, and you can listen to music from quite a lot of systems, ranging
yeah,
from the Master System, NES, all the way up to the N64 and PS1. Now, there is a little catch to it. Every time you want to download music from a certain system, you have to pay 69 pence to be allowed to use, you know, to download the music from that system. But again, you know, I picked about 7 systems, and it's only 69p each, so it doesn't really add up to a lot, really.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, it'd be different if they was charging for every song that you downloaded, but as long as it is just, you know, every different system, then yeah, that's kind of affordable.
Yeah, and they've got some really nice tunes sort of like lined up there. I'm going to bring some up here now, actually, and try and tell you what I've been listening to on my journey to work. So now, I've been listening to music from the Streets of Rage series. I love the music on that game. I think it's fantastic. Donkey Kong Country is another soundtrack I've been listening to. F-Zero. Pugsley Scavenger Hunt on the Super Nintendo. I love the music on that, Dean. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
I don't think I have, no.
Now, I believe the music was actually done by Jonathan Dunn.
Oh, really? I was going to mention, I'm surprised you haven't downloaded RoboCop on the Game Boy.
I have, mate.
You have. I had a feeling you might have done.
It's so catchy, and it's interesting, because the majority of the time I played a RoboCop was on the ZX Spectrum and the C64.
Yeah.
And it's just bizarre hearing the music on the Game Boy, apart from the title tune, because it is very different.
Yeah, I think it's pretty catchy, though. He's done a great job on the RoboCop first game.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll definitely recommend download a SNES Music app on the iPhone.
I'll certainly be doing that.
Right, so we've got some announcements then. So what should we go for first then, Dean?
Blimey. Play Expo?
Yeah, okay. So why don't you tell us what's happening, what we're doing, when it is, sort of thing?
Right, well, it's taking place, I believe it's the 13th of October, is it? And the 14th?
That's correct, in Manchester.
Yep, up in Manchester. Retro Asylum will be there in full force. Is Glenn going?
Glenn's definitely going. Glenn's going for 2 days. I'm going for 2 days. You're going for 2 days.
Yep, certainly am. I'm travelling up with you to annoy you.
Well, actually, you're travelling with me and my lovely wife. So
yes.
She's already said to me for the whole journey down there not to be so geeky.
Ah, should we bore her with ZX Spectrums and Amstrads and Commodore 64s?
I just reckon for the journey we just listen to our podcast.
Big egos.
Yeah. Right, so I'll tell you what we've got planned there, Dean. So we're going to meet up around midday at Play Expo, and you can do that by texting me on my Twitter, which is RetroAsylum1. And yeah, we'll meet up somewhere, we'll hang around, get to know everyone, have a little drink, and this is where the fun begins, because we're going to have lots of little tournaments. We're going to sort of like do little challenges, maybe play against, you know, each other at Sensible Soccer, maybe in Mario Kart, maybe Street Fighter, and we'll film it all. And then what we'll do, we'll add this to YouTube. And the other thing as well is we're planning on doing maybe a live podcast. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, that could be interesting.
Yeah, I think it will be. So what else are we going to get up to when we're there, Dane?
Drinking. No.
Yeah, we'll all be drinking, but what we'll also be doing is doing a bit of promoting, talking to people, maybe interviewing some programmers from the past, and yeah, just generally enjoying this. I'm really looking forward to this. It should be bigger and better than last year.
Yeah, last year we had to battle the breeze of the sea, didn't we, up in Blackpool.
Yeah.
And of course we had Hotel Alcatraz to contend with before we actually set out each day.
Yeah, I think this time we've booked into something a little bit more upmarket.
Yeah, just a little bit. Not much. We are cheapskates after all.
We are indeed. Right, so the next thing I want to announce is how you can win the Amiga 500. Now, there's a number of different ways you can win this. You can still win this. The prize will be announced on episode 25, which will be, I think, midway around October the 23rd, I think.
Right.
Now, you can enter this in a number of different ways. You can send me an email at therealloculmaniac@googlemail.com. Leave us a little MP3 telling us why you like us so much, because I think it does make us feel rather special, and we like to be told for our own egos.
Oh, yes.
And the second way you can do it is leave us an iTunes review. You leave us an iTunes review, 5-star review, and you're in with a chance to win this Amiga 500. So, yeah.
Yeah, there is another way as well, though. There is a fourth way.
Oh, what is the fourth way?
To bribe us. You can buy it off of us for £2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, at Replay Expo, you can buy us drinks, and we might sort of like give you the Amiga. But
well, yeah. I was going to get onto option 5, but yeah, we'll mention that once we're there.
Yeah, so two ways you can do it, or three ways. You can even do a YouTube video plugging the site or the podcast, linking it to us, and you'll be entered into the competition. So, yeah, I'd prefer it if you left us an iTunes review, because we've got 42, I think.
Yeah, I would prefer the £2,000, personally, but I'm only joking.
Right, mates. So, I think that's that bit rounded up, the announcements.
About telephone number.
Oh, how can I forget that?
You forget it every time, and I want to read it out, and, you know, we've got to get this tune.
Oh, before we tell everyone about the hotline, I want to emphasise, this isn't a premium number.
No, it's nice and cheap.
Yeah, it's a nice and cheap 0208, which is a London area code number. It's not premium. The reason why I've called it hotline is because I didn't want to just call it the Retro Asylum number. It sounds boring.
It does.
Now, what we're going to do is... All right, this is where we're going to do this section, actually, Dean.
Yep.
We're going to tell you what the phone number is.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to tell you as well, like, how you can enter it and so on. So let me find up the phone number. I should have done this.
Do you want me to read it out?
Yeah, okay. So tell us, what is the Retro Asylum hotline number?
The Retro Asylum hotline number, in a Glenn Stiley fashion, is 0208 123 7086. That's 0208 123 7086.
Right. So once again, Dean, what was that number?
0208 123 7086. That's 8. 86. With my dodgy accent.
in the style of Zippy from Rainbow.
George, it's 0208-123-7086. That's 0208-123-7086. Ooh, but Zippy, you're such a naughty boy. No, that sounded awful. Scrap that.
Right, so yeah, you phone up that number, and what you'll hear is, you'll hear me telling you guys like a little question. You listen to the question, leave us a little answer, anywhere between a minute to 2 minutes long, and then you hang up and we'll play those messages. Now, what we'll do now, we'll play the messages from the last Retro Asylum hotline question. So
good, because I've been looking forward to hearing these.
Yep, sit back and enjoy. Hello everyone, this is Andy from Retro Asylum. Today's hotline question is, what was your favourite game cheat on the computer or console? How did you do this cheat? Please leave us reply no longer than 1 minute to 2 minutes and we'll play this message on the show. Thanks.
Favourite password or cheat? This is Christian, aka DJ Comfort. I think the only one that comes to mind at the moment is, I think it was from New Zealand Story on the ZX Spectrum. And on the main screen, if you typed in Fluffy, F-L-U-F-F-Y, I think you got infinite lives or invisibility, something like that anyway. Another one as well was the up, down, left, right, L, Y, A, B, or something like that for the Super Nintendo for Street Fighter 2. We took ages to master that one. Anyway, guys, keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening to the show. See you later.
This is Jack-O-Lantern. The cheatest of the game being Doro Racer on the ZX Spectrum. I couldn't remember exactly how to do it, but it was, I think it was QAZMS all at the same time, right at the beginning of the game, when you start playing it, and your bike would be on the starting line, and it just zoom back and then fly forward. You didn't touch anything for three levels, and it would just go straight through levels at full speed and just stop, and you did that level by yourself and do them normally. It gives you lots of extra time. If you played it in two player, there was a glitch in which for some reason the second player, the bottom half of the screen would suddenly vanish, so you have to play blind. So it's quite a chance to try and get as well. And that's pretty much it.
Right, so I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for those.
Very,
we appreciate that.
Yeah, very good, guys.
So we've left another question. I was going to do this question every week, but then I realised that the every proper episode is every other week.
Yeah, every fortnight.
Yeah, and we've got half episodes in between, so it'll be updated every second week on a Sunday, the question.
Good idea.
Hello everybody, this is Damien and you're listening to Retro Asylum.
Next up, we've got our first giveaway, like live on the show, which again, I'd like to give a big special thanks to Retro Video Gamer. Check out his website. He might even help us sort out the forum, so yeah, really appreciate that. And also a big special thank you to Elite Systems. He used to do all the Spectrum games, and like now they're doing apps on the Spectrum, so you can relive those retro gaming memories.
So who's going to read these out?
Well, I'll tell you what, do you want to read one out? And the way this is going to work is we're going to read one out now, and once Dean's read it out, quickly go on your iPhone, download it, and the first person to download it wins it, basically. And then later throughout the show, we'll read out the second one. So, okay, the first one we're giving away, Dean, what game is it?
I don't know. What game is it? Seriously, what game is it?
It's the Retro Game Collection, which is a collection of retro games.
Oh, there you go, Dean. You've answered your own question.
All right. So right. Give us this code.
Right. The code is FRKWHXLE 7734/769J9HF4W4HP. I'm not going to repeat it. You can rewind if you want to listen to that again.
You could do like Craig David and rewind a little bit.
Drop a bowl.
Right, so, yep, that's rounded up all our site news and announcements. All right, matey, so what game are you going to review today, and then you're going to score it out of 5?
Right, this is it's a little bit more modern to what you're used to hearing me complain about every fortnight. It's Siphon Filter on the PlayStation 1. Okay, you play Gabe Logan, and it's a third-person perspective. It's very much like your Mission Impossibles and James Bond. You know, you're playing this super spy, and he's got a, you know, he thinks he's a bit of a hunk. It's just, it was a very playable game. It has aged a bit. The controls feel rather clunky these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a very enjoyable game back in the day. I think it went unnoticed because it was released more or less around the same time as Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
And it didn't have as high production values and basically as much you know, advertising. And Metal Gear Solid was a huge, huge game, and everyone was waiting for that. You know, it had been hyped up so much. And Siphon Filter come out, like I say, roughly around the same time, and it went under the radar, I think, for a lot of people. But yeah, it's a very playable game. It's just, like I say, the controls these days, they feel rather clunky.
So when was the last time you actually sat down and played this game?
I actually sat down and played this a couple of nights ago on the Vita. I've also downloaded it for the PlayStation 3, because there's a bit of a problem with the Vita version in that you can't, basically, let me backtrack a bit. The game on the original PlayStation and on the PlayStation 3 requires the second set of shoulder buttons.
Right, yeah.
And the Vita hasn't got those, so you can't select the torch.
Ah.
Which can only be obtained by using those controls. You can change your weapons by pressing the select button. But on the Vita, it doesn't allow you to select the torch. So in certain sections, it, you know, when you're in a dark tunnel, it makes the game a bit awkward to play because you do need your torch at times.
Mm-hmm. So how did this game actually control? Because I've never played it. How did it control compared to, say, Metal Gear, which was the obvious...
Yeah, well, Metal Gear used the thumbsticks, didn't it? You know, the analog sticks.
Yeah.
And this doesn't. You have to use the D-pad, which, you know, going back to a D-pad on a PlayStation game, it, I don't know, it just takes a bit of getting used to. I've become, when you've got that control pad in your hand,
yeah,
used to using the analog sticks, and yeah, it just feels very clunky. But yeah, you use your D-pad to move forwards and backwards and to, like, turn around. It's, I guess if you think of Tomb Raider, it controls slightly like that.
Right, okay.
But of course you're doing a lot more shooting than what you did in Tomb Raider. And you have to aim, and you know, you can do headshots. You pick up weapons where they've got a scope on them. A bit like GoldenEye, but with a third person view.
Right, so why don't you tell us a little bit your experience back in the day and your experience now playing it, so we can get, like, you know, the differences of how it's aged, basically.
Yeah, well, back in the day, it was a game that was given to me via a copy. So, it was this was back when we was expecting Metal Gear Solid, and someone gave this to me. I probably got it about a week or two before Metal Gear Solid was released, and I loaded it up, and I wasn't expecting much from it, because graphically, it's not the greatest of games. It's quite blocky. They've got like square heads with very flat faces, you know, the characters. But it played superbly. It was like a surprise hit summer blockbuster movie, really. Yeah. That's the best way I can, you know, it's cheesy. The storyline isn't great, you know, all the cutscenes are a bit cheesy, but it's very entertaining. It's got a good soundtrack, and it took me by surprise, and I ended up playing it all the way through back in the day. Recently, when I've picked it up, I'm not getting very far in it, mainly because of the controls. You have to press X to squat and you know, walk about on your, like, basically to lower yourself so you're not getting hit. Now you can hide behind cars and all different parts of the scenery, but you have to press circle button to fire.
Yeah.
And plus you're using the shoulder buttons to strafe left and right. Your fingers end up in a bit of a tangle, and I don't know, it has aged, because obviously graphically, any PlayStation 1 game that's got 3D elements to it, you know, they don't look too hot. But it's still playable. I'd definitely recommend it to anyone who hasn't played it.
Alright, so what would you have reviewed it out of 5 back then, and what would you score it out of 5 now then?
Right, back then it would have been a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
And nowadays I'll give it more of a 3. It's still a playable game.
Yeah.
But like I say, you just got to have your fingers in the right place.
Okay. Now, it's funny enough that you started reviewing a PS1 game.
Yeah.
The game I'll be reviewing, mate, is also a PS1 game, and it's Silent Hill. I love this game. I'm a big fan of the series. I used to be a big Resident Evil fan. I used to love Resident Evil 1 and 2, I think. And then I saw somewhere in a magazine that Konami were releasing their own sort of like horror, spooky genre type game. And I thought, it's going to be too similar.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, I got it and it's completely different. It is, the only way I can describe this, like Resident Evil was more like a George Romero, and this was more like a psychological thriller, because it plays with your heads. I mean, the game starts off with you play as Harry Mason, and you're driving along, and you end up crashing. And when you come, you're with your daughter. She's only a little girl, and when you come through, you see her running off into the distance, into the fog. And you chase after her, and she slowly disappears, and you're in this town called Silent Hill. And everywhere is covered in fog.
Yeah, I remember it being very foggy in the game.
Yeah, and as I say, what the reason why I think they used the fog was for the limitations of the draw distance of the 3D in the game, because
it did actually add an atmosphere to the game, didn't it?
Oh, I tell you what, it did add so much to it. It really added so much tension to it. Unlike Resident Evil 2, where it was confined to certain screens. And it was all pre-rendered 3D, I think it was, or pre-drawn. The Silent Hill was proper 3D type game. You know, you could sort of go around pretty much
every direction. Yeah.
So to get the draw distance right, they had to cover it in fog. But it was ingenious, because you couldn't really see too far ahead of you. And when your character ran, you could hear your footsteps. And again, it's one of those things, sometimes what you don't see, it scares you even more, because the audio in this game was superb. It really had loads of little touches, like you had a radio, and all of a sudden that radio would start hissing if there was any sort of like creatures behind you. And it sort of reminds you of that scene from Aliens. It starts going and you're thinking, there's something around me nearby.
Yeah.
And then something jumps at you. So it already has a tension, and it did have loads of different puzzles, but the game was full of twists and turns, that it really just left you thinking, what on earth is going on here?
Yeah, it had some really freaky creatures as well, didn't it?
Yeah, they were all sort of really weirdly deformed, the movements on the creatures. Nothing had really been seen like this. I mean, maybe like, I don't know, in Hellraiser, you know, the movie by Clive Barker.
Yeah.
They were all really deformed and looked strange. They really were like nightmarish. But I think the thing that scared me the most was you could be running around in the fog, and then the next thing, I think it's Silent Hill 1, you hear like the horn, you know, like it's... You know, like if there's a war going on, you hear the siren and you know something's going to happen, and slowly but surely the town that you're in starts changing into like a hell dimension where everything's rusty, red, grimy, and you know you're in trouble when that happens. It really is, Swainy, honestly, one of the best games to this day I've ever played.
Yeah, I remember, because as I've probably mentioned to you before, I'm not a great fan of horror games. I don't really get too freaked out by that sort of thing. But I do remember Silent Hill coming across as very atmospheric, mainly because of the fog. And like you say, it was a limitation of the system it was playing on, but they used that so well. And yeah, I do remember playing the first section of the game and thinking, yeah, this is a bit more like it, you know, because it wasn't as cheesy as Resident Evil. Resident Evil, you know, I know it's got its fans and it's a great game, but the acting in it at the time, you know, it was so cheesy I couldn't take it seriously. Whereas Silent Hill, it definitely tried a little harder on the acting front, and yeah, it came across a lot better.
Oh no, definitely. I mean, it's got so much atmosphere. Now, this game looks visually amazing back in the day. It didn't look, say, as good as Resident Evil, because again, it was all those graphics were pre-drawn and this was more 3D.
Yeah.
Obviously the graphics weren't as good, but because of the atmosphere, the sets, the designs, it looked a lot better than it was. Playing it recently, I've discovered that, okay, the controls haven't aged that well, but then again, most, even up to this day, like the more recent Silent Hill games, still use the same sort of control method. It really hasn't evolved, so I'm somewhat used to it. Graphically, they do look very blocky. The fogging effect doesn't look as haunting as it used to, this, you know. But the story's still there.
Yeah.
The fear factor's still there, the twists and turns are still there, and the beauty is you've got loads of different endings that you can do by collecting certain things, not doing certain things. So it's a game that back then I would have scored 5 out of 5. Now I would score this game probably 4 out of 5.
Right, okay. Wasn't it given a HD makeover recently?
Right, that recently came out on the Xbox and PS3. Unfortunately, Silent Hill 1 wasn't included on the pack.
Really?
Yeah, it was just Silent Hill 2 and Silent Hill 3. I think the reason being is that it'd be a lot harder to upscale and HD a PS1 game,
yeah,
as opposed to a PS2 game. But oh, special mention must go to the Silent Hill movie. The first movie, I wouldn't say it's a 5 out of 5, but it's very close to the game.
Yeah.
And the sequel's coming out this Halloween, so stay tuned to that. Right, so yeah, that's the end of my review. Shall we move on to our next section then, Swainy?
Oh, yes.
Right, the next section is replay. Now, this is basically where we talk about a game from the good old days, and we recommend, you know, to our listeners and even to our friends to sit down and play this game again. Now, the game I'll be talking about is called How to Be a Complete Bastard. Now, do you remember this game at all, Swainy?
I do, yeah. I didn't play it too much because I wasn't very good at it. But I really wanted to get into it because, you know, I love the show and it always made me laugh. So, yeah, it's something I always wanted to get into, but I couldn't quite get the hang of it.
Right, now, so this game, for our listeners who don't know what the game is or who it's based on, the game came out on the ZX Spectrum and a few other 8-bit systems. It was based on basically Adrian Edmondson, and you know, Adrian Edmondson from The Young Ones and so on. And the game basically saw Adrian Edmondson, a little character, be at a party. And the only way I can describe it is The graphics looked a little bit similar to Spy vs. Spy, with a bit off school days.
Yeah.
School graphics. The screen was split into two. Now, the whole beauty of this game was it had like a 3D sort of element to it, where you could walk and forth, you know, towards the screen. So you could search behind things, so you could move the bottom screen and change it from different views and angles, which was really smart and really ingenious. And the whole story was that you had to basically be a complete bastard at this party, and you had to fill up your bastard meters by doing bastardly deeds. So what did you do, and how did you find this back in the day?
I think it might have been a copy that was given to me, and it didn't have any instructions. So I was wandering around kind of aimlessly, not knowing exactly what I was supposed to do.
Right. To be honest with you, I knew that you were meant to collect certain bastardly deeds, but very similar to Jack the Nipper 2, even though you've got a mission, I think the whole point of this game was just to explore, pick up certain things, do bastardly deeds, basically.
So you could deviate from the main game sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you had no real time limit. You had like a life meter, you had a fart meter, you had all these different things. Like, an example of how you could get, because you had to get how to be a complete bastard. Every time you did a deed, it filled up one of the letters of, you know, how to spell that.
Yeah.
So you could be walking along, you could see a pen, you could go up to someone at the party and stab them on the back, and that would give you the letter H. And there was other ingenious things as well, like if you opened up an umbrella in the house, because it's unlucky, your character would turn into a refrigerator, so it would be more awkward to control, and eventually, you know, it would run out, but it had so many little touches. You could pour itching powder down someone's back, you could sort of like look at porn mags, you could break TVs, you could throw loo roll. But it had two ingenious touches, which I think was way ahead of its time, Dean.
Right.
Way before, say, Metal Gear Solid, it had this thing, you would find a computer. Now, somewhere at this point, it gave you three options: take the computer, smash the computer, or reset the computer.
Right.
Now, if you press reset, it would actually reset the game.
Ah.
Which was ingenious, but frustrating at the same time.
Yeah.
Back in the day, to load a game...
5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah. So if you were really far into the game and you did this, you were like, wow. But to this day, I look back at this and think, wow, this was truly amazing. One of the other little touches it had as well, if you picked up some 3D glasses and it says, take them, throw them, or whatever, if you put them on, top bit of the screen would go red and the bottom of the screen would go blue.
Right.
So it had that effect, like if you were wearing 3D glasses.
I'll have to give it another try, because again, it's a game that I've not picked up probably since the late 80s. I remember it being a bit slow. Is that my mind playing tricks on me, or...?
It is very slow. The character moves around slow, but again, there's no real... You can deviate from the actual mission.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to spend hours, you know, just annoying people in the party. I mean, I used to drink lots of alcohol. You could smash it, you could sort of drink it, you could spill it, and I'd always drink it, and then your character would end up really drunk, and your
alcohol
meter would go up really high. Then you'd have another meter called the Wii-O meter. So you could go to the toilet and you'd have to wee, and you'd see the Wii-O meter go down and you get points. And it's just ingenious. You know, I think I'd love to see someone do a remake of this game. And like, I'd highly recommend that anyone who hasn't played this, give it a go, Dean. I mean, you especially, give it a go. Take your time. Don't try and finish the game.
Yeah.
Just enjoy doing...
diddly things.
Yeah, the reason why I had to hesitate there, because I'm going to have to beat all these out. So yeah, I definitely recommend How to Be a Complete Bastard.
Right. Are you even going to be able to say the title name?
I'm going to have to beep it out. Right, so yeah, that was my replay game. So play this game again and definitely relive it.
I'll certainly be checking it out. Don't you worry.
Right, so why don't you tell us then what the next section is, Dean?
Right, the next section is Remake of the Week, and it's Toki.
Right, now, for our listeners who are not very familiar with us, why don't you fill them in what Tocchi was all about?
Okay, Tocchi was an arcade platformer starring a man who gets changed into a monkey or a little ape. And who did publish that? Can you remember?
I cannot remember who did it, but it's a great...
It is a great, great platformer. It had some nice conversions. The Amiga and Atari Lynx were notable conversions from my memory.
Yeah, they had the NES version as well, which they changed the graphics and it looks a lot more cartoony in hue.
Right.
The ZX Spectrum version is famous for not actually being released.
Yeah.
They had finished it and there's screenshots of the game out there.
Yeah, I think they were just mock-up screenshots, but it was looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So basically, this game has been on the cards as a remake for a while. Originally, I think this game was meant to be being released on the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and the graphics look amazing. I've seen video footage of this game, and it looks very cartoony-like. The graphics have been vastly improved. The music has been improved, and I tell you what, the music was really damn catchy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was, you know, good music in the first place. It was very, very catchy.
Now, the people are making this game, I think they're a French company, and they're trying to release this on Steam. So if you go to the Steam community, type in Tocchi, it will basically bring up what they're planning on doing. And I'm really hoping that this game does come out. I mean, once this podcast does come out, I'll put a link to the video of what the game looks like, because it looks beautiful. It really does. I mean, it's a tough platformer. It's not easy. I mean, I played this the most, actually, on the Sega Mega Drive, and I couldn't get anywhere. And recently, because of emulation, I started playing this game again on MAME.
Right.
And, wow, I couldn't get anywhere.
It is tough. What was the Mega Drive version like?
Again, it's different to the arcade game. It's got different level design. It's very similar, but it just took the same game, kind of like what they did with Shadow Dancer.
Yeah.
It's the same game, but had different level designs for whatever reason. But it's a great game. It's a coin guzzler, basically.
Mm.
I first played this original game when I used to go to the swimming pool, Elephant Castle. They used to have this, so, you know, me and my friends used to go swimming.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, we'd have burger and, you know, chips, and would play this game, and we couldn't get very far, but it's amazing.
Yeah, I got hooked to the arcade version. Funnily enough, they had it in their local chip shop, and it just reminds me of that smell of grease whenever I play it, because this chip shop didn't used to... Oh, it was filth. You wouldn't go there to eat. You just went in there to play the arcade game. Yeah, it was a great game, and I remember getting it on my Atari Lynx back in the day, and it was such a good little conversion, so playable, but very, very hard.
Like, what were the differences, really?
There wasn't many differences, to be honest. It was more or less a straight conversion, you know, unlike, like you say, with the Mega Drive. With the Atari Lynx games, most of the time they just set out to do a straight conversion with not very many differences. The only difference was you had to buy a lot of batteries every few hours.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a great game. So I'd love to play a new version of it.
Yeah, so I really hope. I'll keep an eye out on this, guys. And if it does come out on Steam, I think I'll definitely be buying it, and we'll probably post a little review on that. So,
yeah,
that's rounded up that section. Let's move on to our next section, which is, again, the iPhone game giveaway. Now, once again, big special thanks to Retro Video Gamer and Elite Systems, who kindly gave us these codes. Do you want to read out this next code then, Dean?
Yep, I'll give it another bash. Let's just open this up.
This one, I think, is for the ZX Spectrum collection on the iPhone.
This is by Elite. So a nice mention to Elite, because they were very kind enough to give us this code. Okay, it is TYRX7AXK T36F/949HTYT4RNHN.
So yeah, enter that code and win yourself a ZX Spectrum collection on the iPhone. And again, big special thanks to Elite Systems and Retro Video Gamer for that.
Hello everybody, this is Damien and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
So yeah, let's move on to the next section, Dean, which is WTF.
Oh, what the beep. There we go. Right.
So this is where we both choose a horrible game, so you don't have to play it, basically.
Yeah.
So you can go first.
You want me to go first with this little horror? Okay.
Let's go for it.
Picture the scene. You're a kid during the 80s. There's a few TV shows on. You know, you had the A-Team, you had Street Hawk, but everyone remembers Knight Rider. They've been advertising it for about a year before this was released on the ZX Spectrum.
Yeah.
And, you know, you as a kid, you're thinking, oh, that might be all right. I love the TV shows, corny as it was. And
the Hoff was cool back
then. He was cool back then with his super white man afro.
And his leather jacket.
His leather jacket, yeah. And you load the game up, you get a fairly okayish rendition on the 48k beeper of the Knight Rider theme tune. And then you're given another screen that gives you the option to track. It's basically a map of America, and you're allowed to choose where you're going to travel. Only each time you try and choose somewhere, it says, no, Michael, I don't believe we're meant to be going that way. So that, really, you've only given the one option in order, and you select that, and then it goes on to like a bird's eye gauntlet sort of view of a game where you're meant to, I don't know if you're supposed to solve puzzles and avoid people. Anyway, you do that, and then it goes on to the actual main screen, which is an interior view of the Trans Am that is not kit, and helicopters floating up from the floor, and you can aim and shoot them. But the trouble is they appear, you know, all over the screen, and the cursor is so slow, by the time you move it over to get another, you know, take out another helicopter, the helicopter has fired at you and you're dead. It is crap.
It ruined it, tarnished. Where was the action? Where was Kit talking to you? Where was Mike, you know, his afro?
Well, his afro, you had to, you know, pretend that you had an afro, and
you could wear one.
Well, yeah, you could do while you was at the controls. Kit used to send you little messages across the screen, just saying, game over, Michael. that sort of thing. Oh, it was awful. It was, it was just very awkward to play, because it's just a, you know, shooting game with a little crosshair aiming thing that you're meant to take these boxes out. But
was this made by Ocean?
It was made by Ocean, and this was when Ocean was, they were delivering some really crap games. You had stuff like Miami Vice and what's the program? I know you enjoy it. Add the films. I've totally forgotten the name of them.
Which one, God?
Highlander. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah,
Highlander, the game, you know, that wasn't all that. So, yeah, they'd knocked out these three games more or less in a row, and each one of them was really, really crap. But this, because I was actually into Knight Rider as a kid, bought it, and I think it cost about £8. And yeah, you know, I just wanted to throw it out the window after 5 minutes. It was awful.
So what would you say is better then? This Knight Rider game or listening to David Hasselhoff sing?
Oh, probably the Knight Rider game, come to think of it. He was big in Germany though.
Yeah, you know. He likes to say it was him that brought down the Berlin Wall, you know.
Yeah.
He was there when they brought that down.
Well, his afro probably knocked it down.
But interesting fact, it was Peter Cullen that did the voice of Kit, who did the voice of Optimus Prime.
He didn't actually voice Kit, it was the it was the rival to Kit. Carl. Yeah, he voiced Carl.
Alright, I always thought it was Kit. Oh,
no,
there you go, you learned something new every day.
There you go, No, Kit was too he sounded a bit gay, didn't he, Kit? Hi Michael, it's nice to have you back inside me, Michael.
There was that little other sort of thing going on there between a man and his car.
Yeah, there was a bit of bromance.
Definitely. Right, so yeah, I've played this, Dane. I'm not a big fan of the game. Loved the TV show. I was left bitterly disappointed.
Yeah, it was crap. No doubt about it.
Let me tell you a little bit about what my WTF game is now. Okay, let me tell you what the game is first. The game is Alien vs. Predator on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Now, I'm a huge fan of Aliens.
Yep.
I'm a huge fan of Predator. Now, I love the arcade game, which was done by Capcom, which was a two-player rip-off, really, of, say, Final Fight, but with alien predators and, you know, like an Arnold Schwarzenegger-type character.
Yep.
And two-player action. Fantastic game. Super Nintendo game, not very good.
What was different about it?
It's a completely different game than the Super Nintendo.
No.
It's not done by Capcom. I don't know who did it. I really couldn't be asked to research. Because it's that bad. It's got a rubbish storyline about how the aliens have taken over this colony. A predator gets sent down. And it's this one predator. And the predators are meant to be really bad dudes. You know, really big, tough dudes. Here, he walks around like he's crapped himself. He can only do jump, kick, punch, occasionally pick something which makes him turn invisible, shoot something, and you think with those moves it'd be pretty good. It's not. It's so limited because the animation is horrible, the gameplay is terrible, it's so repetitive, the backgrounds, the aliens are rubbish, it's the sound effects are rubbish. It's got no appealing qualities that would make a game good.
This sounds so bad, I want to actually see it. I don't think I've ever seen this version.
It just looks really... The only way I can describe it, Dean, is it looks like a very rushed SNES game. The SNES was capable of so many amazing graphics and music and so on. I mean, I know it's a completely different genre, but Alien 3 on the Super Nintendo, wow. A game that featured beautiful animation on the main character Ripley, on the aliens, the background graphics and music, but this had none of that. It wasn't even a competent or capable beat-em-up, you know? I would say certain beat-em-ups on the ZX Spectrum were better than this.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was a complete waste of a license.
It was a complete waste of a license. I mean, I know they, for whatever licensing reason, they couldn't have copied, you know, the arcade.
Sure,
game.
Yeah.
But you've got the blueprint there to make something similar.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was only a one-player game as well.
Yeah. Not good.
Nah, not good. And you know what? I can't be arsed to talk about it. It's really that bad.
That depressing, eh?
It is, mate. It really is. So, yeah, that's ended up our section of a WTF.
Avoid them.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so, Dean, why don't you tell us what the next section is?
Dean will, once he scrolls onto it. All right. Yeah, it's music of the week. Got there in the end.
Now, the way you can do this, guys, is we've got a little thread on the forum. If you go into site and podcast stuff, if there's any sort of music that you like from your gaming past, just type it in on the forum and we'll play it at some point on the show. Now, who was this requested by then?
Ads M.
Yeah, Ads is one of the forum managers or community members from yokefolk.com. And, you know, he normally stops by and says hello. And the game he chose is Pugsy on the Sega Mega Drive. Now, have you played this game, Dean?
No, never did play it. No, it didn't appeal to me.
Yeah, I mean, the game's, like, to me, I didn't quite like it. I found, like, an average platforming game. The main character wasn't very cute, but the music was somewhat interesting. All right, so let's listen to this, guys. Enjoy.
Right, this is a bit children's BBC, isn't it? I need Glenn here. Oh, we get a bit more lively.
Yeah,
I'm doing a dad dance.
Dad's at a wedding.
Yeah, an embarrassing dad dance. Yeah, I'm just shaking my shoulders, clicking my fingers. Oh, this is embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't quite do it for you?
No. Sorry, Ed's M, but what are you thinking? Sorry, mate, but that's not my kind of music at all.
Well, I tell you what, Adam, I really appreciate you selecting this. I know you really, you know, you're a big fan of this game, and I know a few other guys on the forum are a big fan of this game. I didn't really hear this track before this. We played it on the podcast, but thank you very much for playing it anyway, and thanks to Dean for doing another little dance.
Yeah, maybe it was a nostalgia thing, but trying to listen to that now and doing a dance to it, oh my.
Well, I think this is the way this format's going to go on from now on. We'll play these songs, and then Dean describes what dance he will be doing.
Yeah, that is definitely a dad dance at a wedding. Embarrassing.
Right. Next up is my personal favourite part of the whole podcast. It is Name the Game. Are you ready for Name the Game?
I am if you're going first, because I've not thought of a game yet.
Right, okay. I have thought of a game. So, Dean, let me explain the way this game works, then, if people haven't heard this before.
Enter me, because I always get the rules wrong, don't I?
Right, I think of a game in my head, and Dean has to ask me questions. I can only answer it in yes or no. Now, Dean has to delve through my mind. He has to go past the porn, past these sort of horror movies, and try and find what that game is by me answering yes or no. So, yeah, Dean, what game is it?
Was it released on the arcade?
No.
Was it released on a console?
No.
Was it a budget release?
Yeah.
Originally a budget release or a re-release?
Can only answer yes or no.
Yeah, I'm asking multiple questions again.
Yeah, and guys, what are Dean's thinking about this? See if you guys can guess it before Dean does.
You probably already have, but I have no idea. Okay, so it's a budget release. Is it released by Mastertronic?
No.
Codemasters?
No.
Alternative?
Go on. I'll tell you what, why don't you try and describe what sort of genre of game and what system for a start?
Okay, I'm guessing, is it on the ZX Spectrum?
Yeah.
Is it a beat-em-up?
Yes.
Beat-em-up budget release. Ooh, tricky. I need to discover what label it is. Alternative software?
Nope. I'll give you a clue. It originally was a full budget game.
Oh, that could be anything. You're cheating. Barry McGuigan's boxing.
Nope.
Street Fighter.
Nope.
Renegade.
Nope.
Vigilante.
Nope.
This ain't casting well, is it? Beat 'em up.
I'll give you a clue. It was also at the C64 and the Amstrad.
Jeez, it really narrows it, man.
Do you want a clue?
Barbarian.
No.
Yes, I want a clue.
Melbourne House.
Right, that is Fist. Where the exploding fist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally, he got there. Wow. Well,
sorry, that was so drawn out.
I had to give them clues because otherwise the show would have been about 2 hours long.
Could have been any game, couldn't it, really?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, guys, play along with us when we do the section. See if you can guess it before we guess it. So next up, it's Dean to think of a game, and I have to delve beyond the Double Dragon, beyond the stop-motion animation of Transformers. Dean... All right, let's start.
I have thought of my game. Go for it.
Is it an arcade game?
Yes.
Is it a beat-em-up?
No.
Is it a platformer?
Sort of.
Is it done by Taito?
Yes.
Has it got a little kiwi in it?
No.
Was it converted to another system?
It was. Yes.
Converted to the NES.
I should imagine so. Let me just check. It was definitely converted to the 8-bit formats. You know, the computers of that time.
That's a Taito.
Yep.
Is it Taito or Taito?
You could.
Did it have a cute little character?
I guess it was kind of cute looking, yeah. But, yes.
Oh, it's not New Zealand story.
No.
Okay.
It's earlier than New Zealand story. And it is a platform game, of sorts.
It's got two dragons.
No.
Bob and Bob in it?
No.
So it's not Red Royal, is it?
No. We're going back a little bit earlier. Well, quite a bit earlier. Let me give you a clue.
Right.
1983, Taito, and you drop down by a helicopter when you start the game.
Wow. That didn't help me in the slightest.
And I can confirm it was released on the NES.
Oh, okay. No, I was thinking of Bionic Commander, but that's by Capcom.
Yeah, and that's way later. That was the late 80s. So you...
Okay.
Did you give up?
No, I can't give up. Does it have the letter A in it?
It does.
At the beginning?
No, on the second word. It's a two-word... Yes, another clue I'm giving away. I think I'm winning, by the way. The second word of the title does begin with A, and there is an A in the first word of the game.
Is it a platform shoot-em-up?
It is a platform shoot-em-up. And if you're claustrophobic in real life, and you don't like heights, you might not like getting into the things that you have to get into on this game.
I can't give up because you haven't given up. Right. So it's a bit claustrophobic.
It would be in real life if you was put into that situation, yeah. Okay, let me give you a clue. You go into doorways a bit like Rolling Thunder, styly.
Spy versus Spy?
No. Wasn't on the arcade. This is an arcade game that's converted down to more or less everything else.
Oh, I can't give up. I can't give up. Right, so it's like Rolling Thunder.
Yes, it had a sequel on the Sega Saturn, I believe, and on the arcade, but it was on the Sega Saturn. Yeah, the Sega Saturn sequel had a completely different graphical style. It was a lot more realistic, whereas the first game is kind of cute-ish graphics.
You said it's two-letter words. So
yeah, two words in the title.
And it's a scrolling platform.
Yeah. Okay, let me give more of a clue. You're scrolling downwards. You can scroll back up. It's not left to right, it's up and down. No, that's an app.
I'm not going to give up.
People are getting very frustrated at the moment. They're shouting the answer out, they must be.
They probably are shouting the answer at me. I'm not going to give up. And you said it's got an A, so I can't be missed to do.
No.
Oh, God, what could it Be of God. People, shout louder.
Another clue, it was converted by Quicksilver on the home formats on, you know, the ZX Spectrum, Amstrad and Commodore 64. It was coded by Binary Design on the home formats.
Oh man, am I going to sort of go, oh my god, I can't believe I'm...
Yes, I think you probably will.
Right, you know what, I'm going to have to pass on this.
Yes, I win! Right,
you win.
Elevator action.
Oh man, I can't believe I couldn't get it. Oh man. Well, yeah, guys, this is the first time this has happened on this show. Let us know whether you guessed it, whether you knew it all along and you were basically screaming, you know, down the road while you're driving, you know.
Yeah, the next clue I was going to give out was that you could shoot out lights in the game, but I don't think that you would have got it.
Nah, I mean, I've only played Elevator Action a number of times, but yeah, you beat me this time, Dean. I think next time I'm going to have to find something a little bit more difficult. Right, so what is our next section then, Dean?
Right, hidden gems. Yes.
Is it hidden gems?
It is hidden gems. Do you want to go first on this one?
Right, so you can go first, mate, because I spent about 20 minutes just trying to guess what game.
Right, my hidden gem this week is a game that was released on the ZX Spectrum and the Commodore 64. It is Mean Streak by Mirrorsoft. Okay, right, so you've played Enduro Racer on the Sega Master System, yeah?
Yep.
Right, so it's an isometric racing game of sorts, but this plays more like Spy Hunter. So it's in a similar view of the Master System version of Enduro Racer, but it plays a lot like Spy Hunter in that you can collect barrels of oil, release that on tarmac. You can, you've got machine guns, you've got a rocket launcher, you can jump. And basically, at least on the ZX Spectrum version, you only ever have one enemy on screen and you're racing along and they're trying to knock you off your bike, trying to fire at you. And basically, they've got the same abilities as what the player has. You know, they can spill oil onto the road and there's little obstructions on the road, craters, brick walls that you have to jump over. Fun little game.
Who was it done by again, sorry?
It was released, it was published by Mirrorsoft. I can't remember who programmed it. But yeah, it was a full price release. Really, it probably shouldn't have been released at full price.
Right.
It was more of a, you know, if this game had been released as a budget game, it could have been quite a big hit.
It's a
very playable Spy Hunter clone.
I might actually definitely give it a go. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's also out on a Commodore 64, and I think that version probably is, you know, the better out of the two. I think there's more going on screen.
So what are the things you'd recommend personally about this game? What is it, the things that you like about this game then? Because it's a Spy Hunter clone?
It's mainly because... It's not an amazing game graphically. It does its job, but it's just a fairly playable game. You know, it's... It's one of those games that not a lot of people have heard of, and you might not play it for hours on end, but it's probably worth, you know, a 20-minute go, definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll definitely check that one out. Now, the game I want to talk about is a game on the Sega Master System, and it was called Kung Fu Kid.
I've heard of it. Is it a clone of Kung Fu Master? It's not, is it?
It's not. I mean, it's got some elements, okay? It's a cutesy little platforming beat-em-up game. But imagine if it was like Super Mario, because this character, little Kung Fu Kid, can jump really, really high. If you jump up, you can sort of move around mid-air while doing little flying kicks if you want. You can do a little leg sweep. You can do a little kick as you're walking along. It plays pretty fast, a lot faster than, say, Kung Fu Master.
Yeah.
And because the playing area is a lot bigger, you can jump up really high to avoid the enemy of crowds behind you. It's pretty good. And you also get this little square cube ninja star that you can pick up and throw along. It's one of the best Sega Master System games ever. And whenever I talk to people who had a Master System, they really don't remember it.
I think it was a very early release, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it came out as one of the first few Master System games. I don't think it was an arcade conversion. The music is really catchy. The graphics are still pretty nice. They're very colourful. The backgrounds are really interesting. You've got boss battles. The first boss, I think it's some guy you've got to fly and kick and hit him. The later on you go on, you get more interesting baddies. Like the second level, I think, you've got like a Chinese vampire woman, and she flies from one side of the screen to the other. So you've got to time it right, jump up and hit her with a flying kick. And it's just about trying to find out what the enemy sequences are.
Yeah.
But it's a great little game. Some later levels, Dean. Instead of just scrolling from left to right, you've got to sort of jump up to higher platforms. And certain platforms you can't reach. So what you have to do is bounce off the wall, flying kick, bounce off that wall to get to the next one. And it's just so damn addictive. I've played this game and I finished it and I absolutely love it. Definitely in my top 10 Master System games ever.
Right. I'll have to check that out. So I've got a bit hooked on the old Master System stuff at the moment. I've been playing Shinobi on the Master System recently.
Superb game. Yeah. This is up there with there. I mean, like I said, it's not an arcade conversion, so a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
So I definitely reckon this game is a hidden gem. And I think somewhere down the line, Dean, we'll have to do a top 10 Master System game.
Yeah, definitely, because it's a system, because it wasn't as popular as the NES in America, I think it gets overlooked these days. You know, it's a bit of a forgotten system in a way.
Yeah, and it's got so many classics.
Yeah, definitely.
You have loads of classic arcade games, and it was a system to play your arcade conversion.
Yeah, it was, you know, in the UK, it done pretty well back in the day. I've played some great games on it.
Alright, so that's rounded up that section. Let's move on to our last section, which is a topic of the month. Right, Dean, what is our topic of the month?
The topic of the month is Elite Systems, the publisher who gave us those great codes earlier on in the show, and they publish some of the best 8-bit arcade conversions back in the day, as well as a few original games. And they're very fondly remembered, and they're actually still obviously going today, which is, you know, a big thing really for a UK publisher from, you know, being in the industry all that time.
All right, so why don't we talk about some of the games that they made, Dean, so people can get an idea of exactly who they are.
Originally, games that they published, you're looking at stuff like Ghost and Goblins, Paperboy.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Bruno's... Ghost and Goblins, like I've already mentioned. There's quite a few games they've done. And Commando, great conversions, you know. And I think between probably about 1984 and 1986 was their best time for releasing top stuff. But yeah.
They were probably the best, I think, arcade conversions. Because Bomb Jack, I'm sure...
That's right, yeah, Bomb Jack. Yeah, all those games, they're all quality conversions. They all worked really well, at least on the ZX Spectrum, what was the format of my choice back in the day. Mm-hmm. And from, you know, what I understand, most of their conversions across other systems were, you know, pretty decent.
I love this company. Back in the days, it was a company that I would buy games from all the time because, again, it's like we pointed out, they did have a good ratio of like quality games, especially arcade games.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why I was a big fan of like Elite Games, really. Do you know who the company was founded by or who it was made by?
Right, well, I believe that it was founded by Richard Wilcox, and it was originally called Richard Wilcox Software, and they published Blue Thunder on various 8-bit systems such as the Atari 8-bit and C64. And then they basically relaunched as Elite Systems. Mm-hmm. That was one of the games they'd done, Cockatoni Wolf.
Right, so apparently this was the first game that had anti-counterfeiting holograms on the cassette inlay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to prevent sort of like piracy, so people knew you were getting an original game.
Yeah, and I remember reading about them going to, you know, one of the guys, I don't know if it was actually Richard Wilcox or Steve Wilcox, I don't know if they're brothers or father and son set up, but they went out to Japan to one of these shows, and that's where they started picking up the arcade licenses for the Capcom games, I think it was originally, like Ghost and Goblins and Commando.
Because I'll be honest with you, Ghost and Goblins was on the Spectrum was the first time I had actually played Ghost and Goblins. I hadn't played the arcade game beforehand, and then I ended up playing in the arcade, and then I realised it wasn't a bad conversion, it was just very monochrome, but the playability was still there. Not as good as the C64 version, but you know, it's a great game.
Yeah, it's probably one of the first proper arcade conversions on the Spectrum that I played. I think it was a really good conversion. I'm not too sure if it had all the levels, though.
Yeah.
But it was very playable.
Let's look at the list of some of the games. Apparently they made a 1942, which is one of my favourites. Batty.
Yeah, Batty, which came free with your Sinclair originally, then was re-released onto the budget label that Elite owns. I can't remember.
Buggy?
Yes.
Buggy Boy?
Buggy Boy. It took ages for it to come out on ZX Spectrum, but the C64 version was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, great game.
I like the Spectrum version because it's got big graphics.
Yeah, it's playable. Some people have slagged it off. I'm looking at Tony right now. but yeah, I thought it played pretty well. It was quite, you know, it wasn't the best game. It was quite blocky, but it certainly played well.
Yeah, you also mentioned earlier on Frank Bruno's Boxing, which was an homage to Punch-Out, wasn't it?
It certainly was a homage, yeah. More.
I didn't want to say blatant rip.
No. It was very, very similar. But yeah, it was, again, a playable game. Like, you know, it's a clever bit of licensing, and yeah, it worked well. Obviously, they've done Bomb Jack 1 and 2.
Yeah, love it.
And I think they also get the industry award for publishing the hardest game ever, which is Airwolf.
Oh, yeah, which apparently can't be finished in certain systems.
It wouldn't surprise me. Very, very hard game. But
I think on certain levels you can get past because there's like something that blocks your path that keeps on hitting you.
Yeah.
And it's unavoidable. One of my favourite games, actually, I first played this game, Harry Attack, on my cousin Alex's Amstrad.
Yeah,
I used to love Harry.
I've never played it. But I've seen, you know, video footage. It does look pretty good. I'll have to check that out.
Elite, by the looks of it, they span for years and years and years.
Yeah, and they've been going for years and years, and they've done quite a bit on the 16-bit machines, but I don't really remember them during the PlayStation times, you know?
Yeah, but it's good that, you know, as a company, they're back. They're back to where they all started with, which was the ZX Spectrum, because, again, the smartphones, like the iPhone, indie games on the Xbox, it's the best way to re-release these games at a cheap price, at an affordable price, and, again, it works well on those systems, I think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right, so, yeah, that's our little topic of the month of Elite Systems. Once again, big special thank you to those guys for giving us the iPhone codes. Big thanks to Retro Video Gamer for the iPhone codes. I think now we should start reading our iTunes reviews, mates.
Okay, mate, let me just grab my device.
Right, so now last night we did them in accents, and I think, you know what, we'll read them again. We've now got 42 iTunes reviews.
Now the trouble is, iPhone have updated all their software and made it awful.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find.
It is, yeah, so we're going to a separate application for podcasts.
I'll tell you what, we've got quite a few iTunes reviews. We have got a really heartfelt one, which we'll read out last, basically, and we won't read that one in accent. I mean, I read this one and I thought, I'm glad that we can be really sort of, you know, we help people, you know, people enjoy listening to this.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, let me just get my headphones on. Right, I'm gonna do this in my silly, you know what I'm saying, like.
No, I think the way you do this one, Dean, is Because, you know, the hotline number we've got, Dean left me a nice little message, which probably played at the beginning of the episode, which is the Jamaican guy.
Everybody want to go Evan, but no one want dead.
That one.
Right, so basically that first podcast, sorry, the first review is done by, God, what does it say and who's it by? By you in your accent.
At last, a UK retro podcast.
Spike Groover, by the way. I don't know if I can keep that up for an entire sentence, but I'll try my best. My throat's going to be bleeding otherwise.
I can't tell you how long I've been trying to find a retro podcast that focuses on UK retro gamers. I've tried a few, but they all focus on just Atari or Commodore. They speak about the times stood in a playground, swapping tapes with your friends, or going down to the chip shop to play an arcade.
See, we do. That's what we've done.
It's what we all did and loved. It's a brilliant podcast. I'm so glad I found it. Please continue to do so and I'll continue to listen. So, what are you waiting for? Get subscribed and listening. You won't regret it. Good luck, guys. Keep it up. Word.
Now, you've just added the word.
I did add the word, yeah.
Right, so we've got another 5-star iTunes review by a DJ Comfort, and the headline is Best Retro Podcast. So, what accent shall I read this in? I'm thinking
Brummy.
No. You can do the Brummy one. You're right. The expert at that one. I'm thinking maybe Bane from the new Batman movie.
Fair enough.
Or maybe Chris Eubank.
Awesome. Christopher Eubanks, yes, my opponent is a most respected.
your impression's better than mine. Okay, now I'll read mine in the voice of Bane instead then. You can do the next review in Christopher.
Fair enough.
Been listening to the podcast for around 5 years. I'm so glad I came to this great host and a fun podcast. Full of nostalgic memories.
Oh, and my iPhone's turned off. So I need to sort of like put this back on. Where was I? I'll start again. I'm full of nostalgic memories of my Specky days. I have a 5-year-old son who can't get enough of Super Mario Land on the SNES, and a 9-year-old girl who loves Last Ninja on the C64. The only side is that I found this podcast too early and I have listened to every episode already. Keep up the good work. Absolutely fantastic. Now that was embarrassing.
murder. Couldn't understand a word you were saying.
Just like Bane in the new Batman movie.
Now, it's spot on.
Right, this is the one that you need to read in your Brummy voice. Who's it? What does it say and who's it by, first of all?
Hello, it says Retro Goodness by DJZ01. If you're sick of listening to all the American retro podcasts that seem to bang on about NES all the time, then this is the podcast for you. Where else can you hear about all those 8-bit computers we used to play? They are well worth the listen. And Andy, please read this in a Brummy voice. Well, sorry, it was Swainy this time. But I've done it in a voice. That was good timing, because I didn't even read the bottom until I just got to it. You're very exciting. I love Retro Asylum.
Right, so the next one is says Quality Podcast, and it says by The Stick 999.
999!
Nine. What shall I read this in? In my Chris Eubank.
Yeah.
I don't usually listen to podcasts, but these guys really know what they're talking about, and the podcasts are funny and nostalgic. Tough stuff, fellas.
I didn't know Chris Eubanks was Italian.
All right, come.
Right, this is Retro Goodness by Phil Burton. Great for my retro fix. 5 stars. Woohoo. I actually added the woohoo bit, so that's all he left was great for my retro fix.
good. You want to do the last one?
Yep, I will do this. I'll do this in the voice of Tony from Retro Resistance.
So good in your podcast. I'm Tony Hood. Just an idea, but how about a 20, top 20 ocean games? There are lots of classics and make a great podcast. Ooh, that's so good in the long run. Could even have a winner like an 8-bit Wars and have an overall winning game and platform at the end. Ooh.
I know, I've got a better idea. Let's do a top 20 on US Gold and then it can be over in a second because there are no top 10, 20 games from US Gold or whatever. But it'll be good in the long run.
Right, so yeah, that for anyone who doesn't know, that last impression was from Tony from the Retro Resistant podcast. Lovely guy, and he cracks me up when he does the podcast.
He takes it all in good humour.
Either that or one day when we were at, you know, Play Expo, he's just going to knock us out with a punch.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Right, we've got one last review, and I want you to read this. And this one was really heartfelt, I thought, Dane.
Right, this is a normal, serious voice. This was from Bod 1963. It says, "Hi there, love your podcast. I am a long-time gamer, turn 50 next year, have 5 kids, 2 play games, can't convert everyone. Stopped playing games around the mid-90s. Unfortunately, I had a stroke in 2008. My wife got me to play games to help me with my coordination, and now I play games more than ever. In fact, I collect retro games. I found listening to your podcast very helpful in my recovery. Thanks again. Keep the podcast coming. All the best, Rich." Well, Rich, thank you very much for that lovely message, mate. And it is really nice to know that we're helping you in some way.
Yeah, completely, totally agree. Because I read this and I sent you a message saying, wow, we got a really nice iTunes review.
Yeah.
And I thought this was really touching. And I, again, I'm glad that we can be helping someone. Okay, so yeah, we've had loads of iTunes reviews. We've got 42 now. And every little iTunes helps us get noticed a little bit more. And it really does, you know, it really perks us up, motivates us and so on.
And we like reading them out on the show in silly voices.
Yeah, you know, so if you can request any voices or accents you want us to do it in, please let us know and we will gladly do it. So, yeah, I want to thank a few people before we round the show up. I want to thank Retro Resistance. I want to thank Odd Pod Show. I want to thank our forum moderator, Darren. I also want to thank our two new hosts, which is Retro Darren and Denaris. And I also want to thank Potty Boy, Retro Video Gamer, Elite System, and all our listeners. Any thanks you'd like to say to anyone, mate?
Yeah, Clive Sinclair, thank you.
Right, so
as usual, yeah, you know, all our listeners, and I'm cutting you off again because I'm good at doing that. But thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Dean, how can people find you on Twitter now?
I have joined Twitter. What a mistake that was. My phone doesn't stop going. It's Dean Swain. That is it. It's Dean Swain.
So if you want to find out what Dean Swain's been up to on Twitter, just type in Dean Swain. You can follow me on Twitter as RetroAsylum1. And see what I've been tweeting. We've also got a Facebook page. Just type in Retro Asylum. Like us. Join up. And we can chat on Facebook. And guys, just to let you know, for episode 24, me and Dean are travelling back in time to 1985.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Should be an interesting episode. Completely different. But I think you guys will like it. See you next time. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Right, wow.
All right, that's all right.
Oh, wow, 42 minutes.
They're getting longer.
Right.
Yo.
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 Yo, yo, yo. Right. Right.
I was going to say something then, and it just totally went. So I went, right, okay. I'll shut up. I'll just scroll up to the email. edit.
I'm talking way too fast. I think I've had way too much coffee.
Yeah.
Go on, give it a go.
Oh, blimey, what was it? Come on, blimey. I honestly cannot get that out. Something Wilf, which was like a Manic Miner sort of game, if I remember rightly. Oh, blimey.
I'm going to have to edit.
You are, big time. Sorry, mate.
Right,
mate, I can't even say it. It's KOKOTONI.
Where is this? Is this
if you go on to history, yeah, on the wiki page, yeah, it says that the first release under Elite Systems was
Cockatone.
This game, Cockatone, that's it. TYRXKT36F/949HTYT4RNHN.
So I want to edit this bit out here, Dean. Was that actually backslash or forward slash?
Yeah, forward slash, my mistake. And there goes my phone. Bear with me, mate. Yeah, let me just get it.
We'll take it back from the, you know, the shoulder buttons, and you end up in a bit of a tangle.
Yeah, you, so your fingers end up in a bit of a tangle. And like I say, they're still Nintendo, going. Yeah, there's. Yeah, they're
Thundercats.
Sorry, mate, I keep interrupting you.
No, go for it.
Yeah, I was just saying that they've.
All right, take it easy.
Nice one.
Thanks again.
Yep, see you later. Ta-da.